from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
A day of upsets Saturday. Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri all lost. And the Volunteers lost to Arkansas. Dave McGinnis, how did the Razorbacks create so much havoc for Tennessee's offense?
Deployed a 3-2-6 defense for a while. They gave them different gap and rush fronts and looks. They played more man-to-man than they had in the past. It took the Vols a while to adjust to it. It really did. And once they got going and got comfortable with it, then they were able to get their offense moving some. Also, it caused the Volunteers to have a lot of pre-snap penalties. Because they were moving around, they didn't quite. The Volunteers looked like they were on their left foot offensively very early in this contest.
Well, everything exclusively on that. The problem was in the passing game. They did it with a lot of pressure and without rushing more than four, three, sometimes four, occasionally five. They had four sacks. They had three quarterback hurries, so that's seven times where they're right there on the quarterback. A lot of those hurries end up being a hit. But you just don't get a sack because the ball gets out of there. They had very tight man coverage, and quite frankly, for the first time in his short career, I think they rattled the quarterback. He did not play. He looked a little bit rattled, which happens to every quarterback. And that was all because of an excellent game plan by Arkansas. They executed it well. Arkansas won this ball game, both sides of the football, but primarily by pretty much shutting down Tennessee's offense.
They couldn't get the Hogs behind the chains. They stayed in too many conflict situations down and distance-wise early. And Arkansas continued to hammer them physically. And then Green was accurate when he threw the football. He's very, very accurate. So, and also, there were some blown coverages in this game defensively too, which all led to Arkansas being able to stay with the chains in this game.
Four different drives, 16 play, 74 yards, 13 play, 74 yards, 8 play, 75 yards, and 10 play, 78 yards. That's time. Now, it takes a lot of plays. That's what you want to do defensively. You want to make them earn every yard they get. Excellent game plan. Tennessee's defense did not play poorly, but they also didn't make any plays. No turnovers. And in games like this that are tight games on the road, a lot of times you have to have a turnover or a key stop. Tennessee was unable to do that.
Much more on the Arkansas game and the lessons it reveals from Doug and Dave coming up in minutes. You know what's interesting about these three losses? A lot of times when an unranked team beats a ranked team, you start talking about intensity and was the ranked team overlooking it. But I really thought, and I watched part of all three of these games, I thought A&M, Vandy, and Arkansas, they dominated the games in a lot of ways. They brought a physicality to each one of their wins.
Yeah, well, you talk about physicality, and I agree with that. And physicality comes with the run game, and with physicality comes a little confidence. As Coach is talking about, when you're moving the chains and you're especially having success, and I'm talking about all three games, all three of these people that won, they had success on first and second down. And what happens is you get defenses to start chasing plays. You start chasing plays, and all of a sudden you find out the defenses are on their left foot. And the physicality part of it, I agree with that, because they were able to consistently bring some heat when they needed to bring heat. And I'm not talking about bringing heat in a pass rush. I'm talking about bringing heat in a run game, and I'm talking about also being able to move the lines of scrimmage. That's what they did.
Well, all three of those losses, teams that lost, were in the top 10. But Alabama, Tennessee are going to be okay. They got beat and on the road, as I mentioned. That's kind of going to be the theme going forward, how tough it is to win on this road. But Missouri is one of that three group, I think, has some pretty serious trouble going forward.
You know, everybody wants to draw lessons when you have something like this happen over a weekend. That maybe, hey, this is the impact of the transfer portal. The talent is more spread out. Or this is the impact of NIL, that kids don't want it bad enough anymore. When you hear those things, Dave, what's your reaction?
No, I think it's the truth of the transfer portal and NIL. Teams are the parity that has brought in, and the immediate parity that it's brought in, because now with the transfer portal and accompanied with NIL, you can bring players in that are proven at the level that you're trying to bring them into. You're not talking about 17-year-old kids anymore. Yeah, I mean, you've got some exceptions to that, but most of the time you're bringing in proven players. And I think that part of it, the transfer portal part of it, and the NIL part of it, you're starting to see the parity that's bringing. I don't buy the fact that kids don't want it bad enough. To me, when you're, especially you're playing at this level, and now when you've got everything else that's involved with it, they've got a lot to play for. But I really believe that the portal, the NIL, it's brought parity to a lot of these conferences.
The good coaches, the good head football coaches, when you're talking to players who want to transfer in, and in some instances the ones that transfer out, why they're coming other than name, image, likeness. Name, image, likeness is going to play a part at it for the best players. But why they're coming is very important to establish that. And if you get the feel as a head coach that they're simply coming there for the name, image, likeness, you probably need to let them go somewhere else.
I will say this, and Doug, you said this point several times in the last 2 years. We are at a place in college football today where a dynamic quarterback makes a bigger difference than ever.
Well, no question, and it becomes more important almost every weekend. You watch a college game or college games, and it's very apparent. Listen, in all of the upsets we're talking about today, the winning team's quarterback made the plays for them to win, and their other team's quarterback, and a couple of them are even mentioned in the Heisman chase, they simply didn't. That happens in football. But Pavia for Vanderbilt, Green at Arkansas, and Wigman at A&M, all those clearly outplayed their counterpart on the other team.
What was the first position that was affected by the transfer portal? It's a quarterback. And so if you want to get better quickly, that's what you go find first. You go find a trigger man that is going to be able to elevate your football team. And being able to go find a veteran trigger man, it's important. Now, how you vet them is very, very important, but going to find a veteran trigger man is much easier because you've seen them play at the same level that you're bringing them into than starting a brand new player out of high school or somebody that doesn't have any experience.
This is Coach to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Fall has risen. Soon I will satisfy my thirst for a win. And there is only one way to do it, by playing the new October Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. Fly by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer for some instant fun. I'll meet you there. You can count on it.
With October Instant Games, you could sink your teeth into top prizes of up to $500,000, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
The lessons from Tennessee's loss in Fayetteville Saturday night. This is Coach to Coach. In most games that the Vols play, time of possession and number of plays don't really matter much. But, Doug, in this game, it was very telling.
Well, I would say for the first 3 years that Coach Heupel has been there, this is his fourth year, almost every single ball game, certainly every big ball game, Tennessee was not even close time of possession. This is a little bit different year, though. He is not going as fast a pace for, I think, reasons that has to do with the makeup of his team. But Arkansas had the ball 10 more minutes. They had it 12 more plays. They had long drives that we discussed a little earlier. Tennessee had no takeaways. Now, I will say this. Only 19 points given up. And, again, a big thing in this game was seven of those points they let Arkansas score so they could get the ball back. Now, Arkansas was probably going to kick a field goal. But when you give up 19 points in today's football, and especially on the road, and especially for a Tennessee team, that should be enough to win. But you have to find ways to win. And this is a ball game where Tennessee needed to win this game defensively because offensively it didn't look like they were going to. Came close, but didn't get it done.
Arkansas played the chain progression game very well in this game. They not only possessed the ball, but they chewed the clock. And you chew the clock, you're keeping the ball out of your opponent's hands, and that's what they did. Now, the Vols made two very critical fourth down stops on those long drives. That was big, and that had a large part of keeping the score down. They made those plays when they had to, but they were at the end of really long drives that were chewing yardage, but more importantly, chewing clock.
Pretty apparent right now that Tennessee has been unable in conference play to get their passing game going. Why? Well, there's certainly some structural things, but the big part of it, too, and I think this is very important to keep in mind. Tennessee has played, number one, on the road, but they played two really good defenses. The strength of both Arkansas and Oklahoma was their defense. Pressure by Arkansas, and then really the quarterback. Nico was off target on some throws, had some throws. He did not have a stellar game in this one, but they're going to have to get that passing game going if they're going to move ahead in this conference.
The quarterback looked indecisive and it was inaccurate from the cylinder at times, and the offense never was able to establish any rhythm. The vertical throws were not there. Horizontal throws, they got spot tackled very quickly. The RPO game was not existent. They just were not in rhythm.
Had to be a reason why they did not – I don't believe they called a run-pass option, an RPO. That's part of their game, and certainly in tough games it is. Had to be a reason for doing that. But, you know, Nico did not have a good game. Well, let's look at him. He's a redshirt freshman. This is his sixth game start. It was a tough environment, a tough defense, and he just wasn't as crisp or as sharp as he has been. That happens. I watched it happen to one of the very best that ever played up there. Peyton Manning had a few of those games his freshman year, too. And in all likelihood, Mac, he'll probably have another one or two. That's when your team has to build around you. And that's why I said, even though defensively they played well, they had an opportunity to win that game on defense, too, and were unable to do it.
Wide receiver separation the last 2 weeks just has not been there. Defensive structures has something to do with it. Also, this wide receiver core has been injured a little bit. They've got some nicks on them now, and it's starting to surface. That also makes a difference. So all of these things go hand in hand.
They have talented wide receivers. They have length and they have speed. They have been unable to get away. There really hasn't been a wide-open play, and I'm talking about in conference play now. And it's just something I think they need to work on. The talent's there.
I could put one key word just watching, especially the last two games. You talk about separation. It's always about timing. It's always about timing. And they have been a little bit half-bubble off plumb with their timing in the last couple of games.
A lot has been talked about with Arkansas's uneven front causing Tennessee issues. Dave, did you see that?
Well, I saw some of it, and some early in the deployment of a 3-2-6, and gap controls were switched some with this type of a look. Getting hats on proper people in proper gaps with correct angles took a little while. They got it figured out. But yeah, anytime somebody throws something at you that you haven't seen. Now, they saw 3-3-5 against North Carolina State, but that's different. That was a different look. A different look This 3-2-6, it threw him a little bit of a curveball early.
Tennessee's biggest problem this ball game was, and it was, they had the same problem in the Oklahoma game, but Oklahoma, their tackle problem was because neither one of their starters were out there for most of the ball game. This game, they have offensive tackle issues right now. They're having to help more in pass protection by bringing tight ends in. Well, that limits the number of receivers you can put out on the route. But the biggest emphasis for Tennessee offensively right now in the passing game, not the running game, has to be their offensive tackles. If they don't start playing better there, not that they can't move the ball, not that they can't win, but that's what's keeping them right now, I think, from being a really quality passing team.
Yeah, both edges were a problem, and I know they didn't look completely healthy. I mean, you're never going to be 100% healthy once the season starts. But their edges right now, I think the center guard triangle is very strong. But their edges, that's an issue.
Well, and they are who they are. You know, at this time of year, every team is. Their offensive line personnel is what it is. They do not have any players. Maybe one young man, the Williams youngster, might be able to move in there. So they're going to have to make do with what they have at the tackle position. Certainly Campbell is a player at right tackle who's played very well. Hurd is a redshirt sophomore transfer who is not the toughest guy out on the field, but that's who they got to get win with. They know what they have to work with. The offensive line coach, the play caller, has got to help those tackles however he can by play calling.
The play at the end of the game, Nico runs out of bounds. No doubt he was told before the play, you can't take a sack. Doug, how do you think the coaching staff handled that mistake this week?
It's a teaching moment. It's a lesson that we talk so much about for a talented young quarterback. Listen, this guy's sixth start. He's a redshirt freshman. He only played in four games last year, and I think he likely learned a lot from this game about keeping calm under pressure. I mean, it was pretty clear he hadn't shown this in any of the other six ball games, even at a tough place like Oklahoma a couple of weeks before. But he has to learn to do that and overcoming a bad day throwing. You know, you don't come out and just sharp all the time. But I think putting bad plays behind him, he'll learn to do that at the coaching position. That is the biggest thing. You have to learn. Coaches call it flushing, you know, flush it down the toilet. If you let a previous play affect the next play, then you're going to have trouble at quarterback. I think he'll learn from this. He hadn't shown that before, but again, this is a young quarterback who had a lot of heat on him at a tough place to play.
Well, then it goes under the category that I always talk about is that you can't manufacture experience, and that was an experience for him. I doubt you'll ever see him do that again. And he froze in the moment. You know it was handled. That sometimes lessons learned on a football field, especially in big moments, are painful. I doubt we'll ever see this guy do that again.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
When the arena lights dim for a concert or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
With a game as close as the one Saturday night in Fayetteville, there are a lot of decision points, coach to coach continues. But one play that really seemed to set the tone defensively. Doug, the Vols have Arkansas backed up 3rd and 15 from basically the 6-inch line, and the Razorbacks get the first down.
Boy, it was a big play early. Arkansas up 3-0 in the second quarter. An outstanding pooch punt by Ross and the defensive team killed the ball right around the 5-yard line. Excellent first and second down plays, and then a penalty added in there. So it was 3rd down. It was 15 from the 6-inch line. It wasn't even the 1-yard line. You had a lot of things going for you on that. You had a quarterback who was throwing at about 50% out of the pocket. You darn sure knew he wasn't going to roll out. They picked that up because of a busted defensive call. That allowed 25-yard gain. That allowed, did not get score out of that, but that allowed Arkansas to get off the line. Now, the biggest thing about having the ball back that far, you know on 4th down they're going to punt, and you're going to get the ball somewhere around the 50-yard line in scoring territory. That was a huge early play that I thought, Mac, kind of set the tempo for the rest of the ball game.
Well, you'd already had a tremendous punt. You'd flipped the field. You'd won the field position battle, and then Arkansas for 2 downs shot themselves in the foot and backed up. They went backwards. And then that blown coverage, you had a DB on the end of the line of scrimmage that took a vertical 90-degree drop rather than a horizontal 45-degree drop to keep leverage on a back swing on swinging out of the backfield. Who cares if they catch it and make 9 yards? You don't care if they make 10 yards, but you can't let them run for 25.
Give them 14. Give them 14 and a half. They're going to punt. But you can't let them off the goal line in games like that, particularly big ball games.
Really uncharacteristic coverage bust in this game for the Vols.
A lot of that, I think, had to do with their game plan. Going in, keeping this quarterback, this running quarterback in the pocket, they did a good job of that. But they changed their coverage up a little bit. Then their star player was a freshman, and I think he got picked on a little bit. Again, it kind of goes back to what we've been discussing. 5 games in, Arkansas knew where they needed to attack, how they needed to attack, and they were able to do it in this ball game. The bus can be corrected, but those were critical. They didn't have many of them, but those were critical busts in the passing game defensively in this game.
But they were not as good in man coverage as they've been. And then when they were in man coverage, they started peaking in the backfield a little bit. And their tackling wasn't as consistent on the third level. And when they were in zone, because they played some zone this game, it was pretty erratic. Their integrity of their zones was pretty erratic in this game.
Number one thing that defensively that they had to do was keep Green, the quarterback, Taylen Green, in the pocket. They did that. But a lot of credit to him on this. He made some really big throws. He hit a couple of fade routes against McCoy to their right, Tennessee's left, that was very well covered. He had not made those throws before. That was the game plan going in. I think if you talk to Coach Banks, he'd tell you, hey, we accomplished what we wanted to do, keeping him in the pocket. Green did not beat us with his legs, but he did with his arm, and you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
Now, Taylen Green came in as a 50% thrower, and he ended up being a 70% thrower. Now, you got to give him a lot of credit for doing that too. And a couple of those shots that he made, the man coverage, they were on it. Those were good throws, good catches. So Taylen Green threw the football better than he's thrown it all year.
And I'm not worried about Tennessee defensively going forward. They're going to, you know, that good throws, you know, you're going to have occasional busts, a lot of pressure on those cornerbacks. Mac mentioned man coverage, you know, it's one-on-one out there, mano-a-mano. But I'm not worried about them defensively. This was a good defensive game. They played five really good defensive games. They got some players coming along that we knew eventually were going to get to playing very well. So, going forward, for all of the lessons that we've talked about offensively, defensively not so much. They just need to keep playing like they're playing, very aggressive. That front's still playing very well. Again, they have problems, but I don't think there's anything they can't overcome really quickly.
So Peely and Pierce, Coach, showed up. Peely, 14 tackles, was all over the place. Pierce had 9 tackles, 1 sack. He's had a lot of pressures. He got a sack. He had 2 tackles for loss. He had a pass defense. And also, I'd like to bring up Brooks. Brooks played very well, I thought. Had 10 tackles. So they've got defensive players as a whole. They're playing pretty good defense.
In the kicking game, what happened on the roughing the kicker penalty?
The guy that handles it up there, somebody I'm really fond of, does a great job. But I put a lot of this on the call. Number one, he had a true freshman out there on the punt return team. But at the time, Tennessee has the lead in the fourth quarter. All you want is the ball back. I think most head football coaches, most coordinators would say, we're going to play punt safe. Don't even rush him. Let him kick it. Let the ball hit the ground. We just want the ball back. A rookie, young player came in, thought he had an opportunity to maybe block the kick. Rush got hit a little bit, but not only did he run into the kicker, it wasn't a flagrant roughing, it was only 5-yard penalty, but it allowed him to pick up a first and 10. That was a huge, huge play. I put a lot of it on whoever called it, and then the young man, I'm sure, learned from that. But the big thing on it, not only did he run into the kicker, he hit him in the head with his hand. So, again, learning lessons on that, but that was a huge play in this ball game. Would Arkansas have won, Dave, even after playing the ball? Maybe.
Maybe.
But certainly that was a huge play in the fourth quarter of a game. When you got the lead in the fourth quarter, you don't want to do anything to help the other team offensively, especially after your defense has made a stop around the 50-yard line. That was a bad play in the game by a young man. I think a bad call defensively, quite frankly.
Two SEC games. Dave, would you like to see more in the fourth quarter? Different situations, but is that a lesson that this coaching staff probably discusses?
Well, look, being able to finish in the fourth quarter is becoming more and more critical with the parity that's coming to this conference. I mean, these are going to be close games. No lead is safe because you're going to be less likely to boat race people now that you're in conference play, especially conference play week after week after week. So, absolutely. I mean, finishing in the fourth quarter is paramount to winning ball games, especially conference games, the way this conference is set up now. So, absolutely, they've talked about it.
You have to count on, in this league, in conference games, you have to count on every game going into the fourth quarter, and about 80% of them do, going into the fourth quarter with both teams having a chance to win. That's why you work on your rotations, get players as fresh as you can, especially on defense. Tennessee's defense is built to do that. And defensively, they played well enough in the fourth quarter to win. Again, that touchdown, I keep going back to this, that touchdown they gave up so they get the ball back because they didn't want to run a clock down because a field goal would beat them too. Offensively, I think, is the area where Tennessee has to get better in the fourth quarter.
Well, and 10 penalties are too many in a close conference game, especially on the road. So you're looking at the pre-snap penalties, some of the post-snap penalties. Those are going to happen during competition. But those pre-snap and post-snap penalties, they're detrimental when teams are coming down in a slugfest, which this was, into the fourth quarter. So you've got to be much more disciplined mentally. 10 penalties, as I said, on the road in an SEC game are too many.
Amazing moments, special players, stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
Robert Neyland coached at Tennessee 21 seasons. He won 173 games, multiple conference and national championships, but he also was an Army officer. rising to the rank of Brigadier General in World War II. He was a Texan who graduated from the U.S. Military Academy, where he played football, starred in baseball, and, oh, by the way, was a three-time heavyweight boxing champion at West Point. He had no ties to Tennessee at all, a program that in the early 20s had no football success nationally. So how and why did Coach Robert Nealon come to Tennessee as assistant coach in 1926? Well, let's go back to post-World War I. Senior officers had a choice to make. They could either lose a rank or two, or they could find an ROTC program and keep your rank. By the way, Nealon was General Douglas MacArthur's aide-de-camp at West Point during that time. There were two available ROTC programs, Iowa and Tennessee. Nealon had his choice. For some reason, we don't know, because he didn't ever say, and he's not around to tell us, for some reason, chose Tennessee. He was an assistant coach, and then the head football coach was a coach named Banks, resigned the next year to take a better job. That better job that Coach Banks took was Central High School in Knoxville, Tennessee. So Central High School was a better job than the University of Tennessee was. Well, we know what happened. Nealon goes on to have great success, three different stints, three different times he had to leave and serve in the Army because he kept his rank, ended up being a brigadier general. But the big question, what if he had gone to Iowa?
Tablet, clicker, game film. You're in the coach's meeting. Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, to be successful, you need five-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
1, 2, it's coming for you. 3, 4, you could win much more. 5, 6, on a scratch ticket. 7, 8, it's not too late. The new haunted Jumbo Bucks instant game. With a top prize of $75,000, it's a terrifyingly great way to celebrate Halloween. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly. 9, 10, time to play again.
South Carolina and Alabama begin this Saturday of SEC football, first meeting in Tuscaloosa since 2009. Missouri battles UMass, then it's Oklahoma and Texas. Sooners have won 5 of the last 6 in this series. Dave McGinnis, how do they make it 6 of 7?
This year, Texas is better personnel-wise than OU is. Now, Oklahoma, you ask me how they can win to make it 6, which this game is different. Just believe me, it's different. And Oklahoma must be able to take the ball away and steal some possessions to be able to beat Texas.
Texas was the Big 12 champion last year. They made the college football playoff, 4-team playoff. They had one loss. That loss was in Dallas, Texas to Oklahoma. But this year, listen, Texas has a much more potent offense. It isn't even close, starting with the quarterback, skill players, but all the way around. Having said that, though, this looks to be a pretty strong mismatch for Texas.
Coach to Coach continues. A couple of big pieces of news this week. Doug, the latest, the national letter of intent eliminated.
Well, two things happened this week, and I don't think they came out this week. They've been being worked on for a long time. I don't think it was an accident that one came out one day, the announcement came out, and then the other came out the next day. First off, Judge Wilkin out in the federal judge out in California, who had kind of not shown a lot of favor in what the NCAA wanted to do in the settlement case and the house case with the revenue sharing. She came out this week and indicated very strongly that, hey, it looks like it meets the criteria that I want. So that's number one. So it looks like that settlement case is going to go forward. That means the revenue sharing will in all likely begin next in 2025 football or sports season. But then right after that came out, the NCAA announced that they were going to do away with the letter of intent, the national letter of intent. What was that? Well, that was essentially, without getting into all the fine print, it bound a university to a player, and it bound the player to that university for 1 year. That's going away now. All this is leading to this, Mac. It's going to feed into where the revenue sharing part of it, a player we know now is going to be able to leave at any time. You know, there are periods of time where they have to announce they're entering the portal. But what this does, it now lets the university, the athletic department, have total control over all of this instead of having some outside entity to do it. Larry, all this is, I did want to mention this. We talked about how leadership is so important. Charlie Baker, who came on as president a little over a year ago at the NCAA, his leadership on this, and this has been a difficult period for college athletics, especially college football, because it's been described the wild west, whatever you want to call it. There now is clearly some things going along. The judge approving this settlement and then doing away with the national letter. The NCAA, college football, college athletics is getting their arms around it, and this is two huge pluses moving forward in college athletics.
Well, that's a great explanation of it, Doug. But these, we are experiencing seismic shifts in collegiate football, and this is the next step. Now, as you said, the Wild West is exactly what it was. Now they're trying to corral it. That's what's happening now with all of this that's going on. But it's still not over. It's still not over, Doug.
Larry, next step, without question, don't know when it's going to happen, the next 2, 3, 5 years, whatever it is, we're going to see that super division of football where you have the 45, 50, however many teams it is. But this all is lead up to that that's going to happen relatively quickly.
And obviously in Nashville this week, maybe a precursor to that. The Big Ten and the SEC's athletic directors meeting. Interesting to watch. Hey, you know, with all of this going on, and there are honestly a lot of people who don't like all of this that's happening in college football and worry about the purity of it all. So isn't it good, Dave, that Army and Navy are both 5-0 as we start the new football week?
No, they think it's great. And look, Army and Navy are never going to change. They are never going to change. I mean, you talk about something that's going to be rock solid and you can count on. They are going to play just like they're going to play for just like they've played for the last 100 years. And so to me that they're both 5-0 and they're able to have success. Look, 5-0 is 5-0, no matter what you say. This game is hard.
Every one of these young men, if they spend their full time at West Point or the Naval Academy, they're going to have a 5-year commitment that they have to serve. But by and large, these are young men who go there for a reason. The reason is not to play football. That's a byproduct of it. No. But Larry, to your point, name, image, likeness is not a factor.
No.
Nor is transfer portal.
They've got their image.
In their dozens of years of coaching, they've made them. Some went wrong. Some were winners. Game time decisions. Coach to coach.
When I first went to Arizona to try to take over a struggling team as a coordinator, didn't have enough players. So I made a big time game time decision. We had signed for $1,000 a very short 6-foot middle linebacker out of North Alabama named Ron McKinnon. three-time Division II national champions. He was the Harlan Hill Trophy winner, but deemed too small to play. So we kept him on the roster, fought to keep him all the time, made a decision to start him in his second ball game that he was there. He's a special teams player, Ron McKinnon, 1996 to 2004. That's how long his career lasted. He's now in the 2008 College Football Hall of Fame with 1,000 tackles, 12 sacks, 10 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. One of the biggest game time decisions I ever made when I was a decision maker, go ahead and put that Division II player from North Alabama as a starter in a National Football League game, and it paid off. I used to tell him he came into the National Football League on horseback. He left driving a Mercedes.
Timeout called. Back to the analysis next. Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have 2 legs or 4, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
All has reason. Soon I will satisfy my thirst for a win. And there is only one way to do it, by playing the new October Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. Fly by your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer for some instant fun. I'll meet you there. You can count on it.
With October Instant Games, you could sink your teeth into top prizes of up to $500,000. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Georgia Bulldogs have taken 13 of the last 14 against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. They meet again Saturday in Athens. This is Coach to Coach. Kirby Smart wants his fans louder, by the way. Ole Miss is at LSU. The two scored 104 last year. Can we expect the same?
Well, I think the same expectation. Neither defense, I mean, which defense craters first in this ball game? And neither one of them are playing great defense right now. I don't know if it's going to be 104, but there's going to be points scored in this ball game. Yes.
6:30 kickoff in Baton Rouge. Kentucky and Vanderbilt face off, a game that so often decides what kind of year it will be for both. Doug, how do you expect that Clark Lee has tried to get his team refocused this week?
Well, I'm sure he's tried, but it's impossible to do. He's wasting his breath on this. Let me give you a little antidote to this game. 1969, I was a senior. We played Alabama. We were 0-3 going into the game. We beat Alabama in Nashville 14-10, Bear Bryant coach team. The headlines the next day in the paper by the great John Bibb in the Nashville Tennessean was an inch and a half headline. Get your bandwagon tickets here. We played Georgia the next week, got beat 42-6. The headlines that day, on a story, sell. It's impossible to do. You can talk to your blue in the face. Kentucky is tough. They are tough. They're a tough defense. But you know what? Vanderbilt showed some things in that ball game, and they played pretty darn well the last 4 or 5 ball games. That offense is going to give Kentucky's stout defense some problems, I think.
Two teams that have split the last 2 seasons, but the Wildcats have won 7 of the last 8. Florida with an impressive domination of Central Florida last Saturday. That's Tennessee's opponent Saturday. Dave, what was the key to Florida's win?
Well, Graham Mertz was 19 of 23 for 179 yards and 7.8 for throw. Threw a touchdown. Lagway also entered the ball game, was 4 of 4 for 12.5. They were 23 of 28 for 229 yards, 8.2 per throw. They also rushed the football 32 times for 130 yards and two touchdowns. The Florida defense had 5 sacks in this game. That was huge. And they also they had 8 penalties for 64 yards, but they kept the ball for 32 minutes. That was the key to the game.
Well, UCF was a big win for them. And, you know, going into the season, you know, UCF, they're not Miami, they're not Florida State. But it was a win after Miami, losing to Miami, that Florida needed to win this ball game. They got going on defense again. That's been their problem early. They haven't played very good defense. They have not been able to put much pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They were able to do that against UCF. Now I think they're a solid football team. And getting a win going into Knoxville, they've had great success in Knoxville. They'll go up there very confident, I think.
I'm going to start with the linebackers. Grayson Howard, number 10, is 6'4", 238-pound sophomore. He's already got 24 tackles, 1 sack, 1 pass defensed. Shermon James, the linebacker, 24 tackles. He's number 6, 6'1", 229. He can run. They got 3 linebackers I think are playing very well. Jaden Robinson, 21 tackles. He's number 29, 6 foot, 230 pounds. The guy that you got to block across the front is Tyreek Sapp, the edge player. He's got 20 tackles, 2.5 sacks. He's number 94. He's 6'3", 272 pounds. So they've got some guys up front. You're correct. They're starting to play better defense.
Secondarily, primarily a man team. They do mix them up. Primarily a man team. Primarily a pressure man-to-man team. This is a game, we talked earlier about the lessons for Tennessee, separation with secondary, primarily cornerbacks. That's going to be key in this game.
Tennessee needs to establish the run in this game, and they've got to secure their edges in this ball game offensively. And then they have to make the Florida's defensive group, they've got to put them in conflict situations. They cannot get behind the chains in this game because this defense is good enough. If they get you behind the chains, you can have problems. And we've said it all show long here. They must get their vertical passing game going.
Offensively, DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz, they both threw touchdowns in that Central Florida game.
Yeah, and the Lagway youngster in particular, he's a freshman, I think redshirt freshman, but he's been playing more and more. He's kind of a change-up to Mertz. They put Mertz in. Mertz is more of a pocket quarterback. Of course, he's a fifth-year kid, transferred in and out of Wisconsin. Very good, smart player, a good arm, but not much of a runner. I would think that they're going to use Lagway a good bit, because of his running ability and what's given Tennessee the last half of the Oklahoma game and somewhat in the Arkansas game, running quarterback. So I expect to see Lagway a little bit more. Now, his problem is this is a road game for him. He's a young player too. I would suspect that Coach Napier probably will go with Mertz like he has early, and kind of sprinkle Lagway in. But if Mertz isn't getting the job done, you're going to see that young freshman in there, and you're probably going to see him running a lot.
Well, here's who they're going to throw it to. Elijah Badger's their leading receiver, number 6, 6'1", 192 pounds. He got 17 catches, 346 yards, a little over 20-yard average, a long of 77, 2 touchdowns. Shamir Dyke has got 15 catches for 227, spreading the ball around pretty well, nearly 19-yard average, long of 44, 1 touchdown. He's a senior, 6 foot, 195 pounds. And then Eugene Wilson has got 13 catches for 191 yards and only 1 touchdown, but he's a little smaller, 5'10", 183. He's at the slot. Also, they're tight ends. You're going to see multiple tight ends in this ball game. Arliss Bardingham, number 8, 10 catches, 68 yards, one touchdown, 6.8. He's a 6'3", 245-pound tight end that can also catch. And so those are the skill players they'll be throwing to.
Now, running game-wise, they're going to rely really on most teams play a couple of running backs. They'll probably play one in key situations. Montrell Johnson, he's a senior, a physical kid, about 215, good hard runner. He's a 2-to-1 carrier, has 2-to-1 carries over the others, every other player. So he's going to get the ball. Florida is a heavy, has a respectable 140 yards per game. Most of that, though, non-conference. That's not the strength of their team right now. And if they're not, you know, we know they're going to have trouble running the ball. Everybody's going to have trouble running the ball against Tennessee's defense. You would suspect, going back to those two quarterbacks, Mertz and Lagway, are going to have big ball games to give Florida the best chance of winning.
Well, Doug, here's the offensive line they're going to try to run it with. A left tackle, 58. Austin Barker's a redshirt junior, 6'6", 314 pounds. Left guard, 77. Kanijah Harris is a sophomore, 6'3", 321. Their center is a good football player, Jake Slaughter, number 66. He directs everything. He's a redshirt transfer. He's 6'5", 308 pounds. Their right guard, Damian George, is a junior, and he's also a redshirt junior. He transferred from Alabama, 6'6", 345. That's their big dude in that center guard triangle. And then the right tackle, 75, Cameron Waits, is a redshirt junior. He's also a transfer from Louisiana, 6'8", 343. So that right side of that offensive line, that's where they're going to try to hammer the ball.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
44.2. Florida opponents converting 44% of third down tries so far this season.
Well, here's how Tennessee has to take advantage of that. They've got to be good on first and second down. They've got to beat the chain game. Florida has been in a high number of third and seven pluses. Keep them there by being successful on first and second down.
The number is 3. Dante Thornton, just 3 catches in 2 SEC games.
Now, must get the ball to Thornton, number 1, and Brazell also, but down the field. Those those throws out behind the line of scrimmage are nice. But for this offense to be effective, they're going to have some splash plays. And Thornton, number 1, and Brazell, number 2, are the two guys that can do it.
So Arkansas takes Tennessee really out of the offensive game Saturday. Dave, I know fans would be curious. Is there a blueprint now on film that other teams can follow?
Well, it's really up to the offense to be able to progress the offense. Doug just talked earlier about they played a lot of man-to-man and they didn't get separation. Well, that's something that you can work on. You can beat that. There's only so many ways. I mean, there's no magic defense that really was played at Arkansas. They just played better than the Tennessee offense. And so you can look at it, and teams are going to look and see, you know, what gave Tennessee problems. But the biggest thing, in to me, that gave Tennessee problems on offense was Tennessee. Tennessee was their own problem, basically, on this. I don't think it was any magic formula that Arkansas used. They showed some different looks. You've got to play better on offense up and down the line.
Now, we're 5 games into this season, and listen, every team all across the country, they know what their opponents can and cannot do, or like to do or do not like to do. It's pretty apparent what Tennessee likes to do. They like their running game, outside running game, is quick passes out to the flat, get a block, try to get 4 or 5 yards. Arkansas did a great job of defending that. Tennessee, though, there's 3 things offensively that they must do and 3 things that they can do. Number 1, they got to have better play by their offensive tackles. Number 2, their wide receivers have to get separation. They have to help the quarterback. And then, from this last ball game, number 8, Nico, got to play better. He can, and I think he will in these remaining 7 games. And the great thing, Mac, about that is all 3 of those things are very doable. They can get better at the offensive tackle. Their wide receivers, we know they have the ability to get more separation, and we know that Nico can play better because he has. But a lot of that comes down to coaching.
Tennessee's basically in control of what happens to them from this point forward.
Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to Coach.